The following contest scheduled for one fall is for the NXT Championship.
I got the gift of gab and the gift of jab, and I'll put that lazy eye right back to work.
Any man with two hands has a fighting chance.
That's Luke Gallows there on the right. That's Carl Anderson. Anderson and Gallows are here.
Look at Nia having a little fun, sending a message to the entire women's division.
Delete! 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 Delete!
Oh, really? I'm not allowed in your little huddle?
No, sir.
Really?
No.
You know what? Big E, you just made the list!
There should be a wrestler called General Public.
Good call. What would General Public have?
I don't know. I feel like it's definitely a super WCW idea, but it should definitely be a professional wrestler known as, or a tag team even, known as the General Public.
I mean, your improv skills are not strong. We have a live audience. I'm going to ask you once again.
No, you know what?
What would be the description of General Public? It's the yes and experiment. You just got to throw something out there.
Okay, so the General Public would be a tag team.
He for sure drags his feet down to the ring.
Yeah, okay. No, but see, one of the guys in the tag team has to be the lowest common denominator. I don't have a good name for the other guy.
So we have the lowest common
denominator. The lowest common denominator is one of the members of the General Public.
And the engaged citizen. See, I like the idea of General Public being a guy like a general.
Oh yeah, like you he's got the helmet and the bars.
Right. So then, yeah, his two sidekicks would be the lowest common denominator.
The lowest common denominator.
And the engaged citizen.
I was gonna say, and Lieutenant Dan.
Well, Lieutenant Dan's a fourth. You always got to have something in your back pocket for the Axeman to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Lieutenant Dan, you got new legs.
What are you doing, man? ladder matches this weekend. They were kind of fun.
Are we recording already?
Of course.
Oh, I had no idea. You didn't do the intro
Sit here all just goddamn night.
Talking about General Public. I watched the first one live, and then I had to go to sleep because I had to work my other job overnight.
Right.
So I caught the other one later on in the night, and was not disappointed.
All right, so what did you think about the first women's Money in the Bank ladder match?
I don't want to say it was lackluster.
Okay.
But I didn't see a whole lot of like really cool spots going on in there, and I think that might be just because like the ladies don't have a lot of experience with ladders,
right?
So they don't, they didn't have a lot of like, oh, we got to do this spot, we got to do this.
And I don't think you want to, go all full Jeff Hardy unless you plan to have a career of Jeff Hardy. I mean, you have to build up towards your highest of your high
for
spots,
sure. For sure, yeah.
Fred wants to interrupt my goddamn podcast to know how our electrical setup is.
Right.
And we're still recording to the mics. Yes.
We got a mic hanging from the chandelier.
The audio is much better than it was before, though, right? Like, you can actually hear it.
Yeah, no, because I adjusted it last week. He'll let us know in like a minute when we're in the middle of another thing.
So. Yeah, I don't understand the lag on the lag on the Facebook Live seems to be a little sketchy. And
Mr. Moore saying something extremely sexist.
Yeah, we don't have to comment on the trolls.
That's fair. That's fair. But I liked the ending. In that it puts over not only Carmella as a heel, but James Ellsworth as an uber heel. I was watching SmackDown tonight, actually, and thinking, who would have pegged this guy that Braun Strowman destroyed in like 2 minutes a year ago would be this strong at being a heel?
Yeah, the current jacket helps a ton. I think he should rock that Money in the Bank jacket all
for
the time.
Sure.
Because he's all big and puffy and ridiculous.
And I certainly felt like when Carmella came out with the Money in the Bank, like the pants and the bras, I was like, she's winning. She's totally winning. She's the only one that showed up and had Money in the Bank gear made. She's got to win this.
I did notice he had special gear, but I always just think of it in terms of like, I can't remember who it was, whether it was Jericho or Stone Cold or one of the many, many, many guests, but some wrestler, might have been Triple H, talking about, it was Ric Flair.
Okay.
Talking about how preposterous he thinks it is that people won't invest in their look. So when someone changes up their gear, I just think, all right, well, that's a person that just is changing up their look.
Yeah.
Trying to evolve. I don't think of it in terms of the back office, but man, it makes sense.
Swear that AJ Styles has been wearing, usually he wore blue. His colors were blue and black.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the moment he hit the WWE up until about 2 or 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all black and red. I swear he thought he was getting drafted to Raw.
Yeah, I don't know how that
works. I swear he got a whole bunch of red. His new T-shirt is red and black. He got a whole bunch of red and black gear. I swear he thought he was going to Raw, and then at the 11th hour, they didn't pull the trigger on it, and now he's just like, well, fuck, I got a bunch of new gear, so here we go.
He's got brand new gear now. I really like his T-shirt, but I just can't buy his stuff because I just find him to be a little too sketchy.
Yeah.
He's a little too much of a carny for me. I'm like, I don't want to give you my money, dude. I wish you
right.
wouldn't say things about the flat earth because you sound really dumb. But, the delay is only momentary.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it was last week, but it is there. I just had to check because one of our watchers said they couldn't really...
That wasn't for you.
Oh,
that was for Equus. Hello, Blaine, stranger. All right, let's talk about wrestling. Sorry, we're getting distracted.
We're distracted by our YouTube stream, which we encourage you to check out when we're on live. Usually, right after SmackDown, or at least about a half hour after SmackDown. I gotta get over here. I gotta get you off the couch playing Battlefield.
Yeah, maybe after SmackDown going forward, I'll just pop on myself and just stare. I'll zoom in on my face and just stare at the camera.
Just wait for
wonder how many people are on the screen. I don't want to look at the screen and find out how many people there are because it's kind of weird.
I do think it's definitely kind of a big deal that James Ellsworth ruined the
it was
first
fun.
Women's Money in the Bank. It's a great spot, but to do it with the historical first one is a little disheartening.
Yeah, yeah, but like doing too much of a high spot.
Almost.
Yeah, but it was fun, and it allowed for the return of Punch You in the Face, Daniel Bryan.
It
which
did.
Is all that I care about.
Which was great.
Daniel Bryan threatening to punch James Ellsworth in the face and fire him.
I was hoping going into the match, because Becky Lynch and James Ellsworth have kind of had a little bit of a feud, a sub feud going on this whole time. And I was hoping there would be a spot where she would get her hands on James and like just flip him out of the ring or something with a suplex. And it didn't really happen. And now I'm kind of hoping going into the second ever Women's Money in the Bank match next week on SmackDown that they talked about this week. I'm hoping that they start the match with a spot where the other four girls pull James in the ring and hit him with all four of their finishers just to try and eliminate him from the equation immediately.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
But then I hope that Carmella still wins.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they're going to play that. I feel like Ellsworth probably won't be at ringside, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. You know,
but he proved back with Dean Ambrose and in The Miz, he proved that he'll find a way to interfere in a match.
Fair.
You know, his entire run on SmackDown has been a matter of Daniel saying, "Don't go to ringside," and Ellsworth going to ringside.
His entire run on SmackDown has been a miracle because he's
only
just finding his groove right now.
I would have not believed that he was capable of such strong heel work.
No, I believe that it was a pretty thin rope holding his career.
But he was on fire on Twitter. Sunday afterwards.
That much I don't know. So.
Yeah, he was like, because Daniel tweeted something, and he was returning tweets at everybody that was tweeting stuff about, like, Bailey tweeted something about him disgracing the thing, and he had some mean tweet for her.
Nice.
And it was like, whoa, James Ellsworth is really good at being a heel. I never would have pictured it.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff. The arsonist doesn't have his belt.
Yeah, which is great.
He sucks.
Yeah, though
belongs in jail.
I'm really terrified. There was that sit-down interview on SmackDown tonight, and he basically made a veiled threat towards Jinder that he's going to burn down his entire home country.
Yep.
And that's scary stuff.
Escalation.
Yeah, that's an act of terrorism. I don't care where you're from.
Agreed.
It's not. Who would have thought snakes could start fires? Somebody else called James Ellsworth a snake. I'm like, no. Randy's got the snake thing on SmackDown. You're going to have to pick a different animal.
And the Lepodl people, the last podcast group on, it's got like 40,000 people. There was somebody in a shirt in the front row, and we were just going bonkers all over the page. And I don't know if the person has actually reared their head yet. It may not be a member of the group and doesn't realize the incredible mini celebrity status they have, but they had a sign displayed at one point that was the St. Louis Sneck. Yeah, it was very good.
Oh, that's great stuff.
Made me happy.
That's great. You know, I only realized now there wasn't a Fashion Police segment tonight.
Nope.
That's disheartening.
Nope. They got their shirts and now they go.
Yeah. They gave him a shirt and then they just pulled him off TV. That's unfortunate. Also saw that Paul Heyman, speaking of the Fashion Police, Paul Heyman gave them a shout out for their
property of Paulie.
Their segment. Yeah, here we go. Okay, I found it. Bailey tweeted out, "You just stole an opportunity. Not only from the SmackDown Live women's roster, but the entire women's division." And he fired back, "Go hug yourself." Tamina was like, isn't it wild that James Ellsworth wins the first women's Money in the Bank match? How does that work? And he was like, "Carmella won the match. #duh. Didn't you notice, Tamina? Or was it because you were too busy losing?"
Well, that's not so much. All right, we have enough of that. They should all be "go hug yourself." That should be his new catchphrase.
all of them were like, as Becky would put it, straight fire.
Tamina one was kind of a little long to go. I don't know what to do with Tamina, man. She's like, how is she ever going to get over? It's the
she's
most
not.
Nondescript character.
No, she's not.
It's like they say to her, just go out there and be boring.
Yeah.
take a spot.
First of all, the way they ended the show tonight with like all the girls in the ring and Daniel Bryan. First of all, who thought it would be a good idea to give absolutely everybody microphones? Like, this is totally going to break down into people screaming at each other.
They've been doing that since WrestleMania.
Yes.
It's just...
it's never good.
The women's division is almost entirely entrance music.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a problem
for
me.
It is.
I like that they're giving exposure to a wider cast of players, but like, if you're not going to give them matches, don't just keep tracing them out. And like, just, oh,
here's
seven entrances. Great.
Here's the whole division. But we saw that on Raw too.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just, here's
everybody. What I've been saying is the doldrums. It's like, let's get some real hot fucking programs going, some rivalries.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no one seems to care about that. and the ratings just keep going down. I don't know what they're fucking up to.
Yeah. What would you like? Do you have anything that you would fantasy book to try and like pull it out?
Factions. We've been talking about it forever. Factions.
Just,
they're sitting on the Bullet Club.
Your answer is just put the Bullet Club together.
They're sitting on the Bullet Club. How stupid is that? You know, you wanted a jolt of energy. You know, a B12 shot in the buttocks.
Right. What I'm sure you noticed, because I noticed, and I'm not even, you know, half the Bullet Club mark that you are, but
I'm a total mark.
When AJ and Shinsuke were staring across each other,
that was a highlight. That was excellent. They pulled it off to the side and made a whole little tableau out of it.
And even the crowd went nuts.
Oh,
which
yeah.
tells you exactly, I think, how many people know about New Japan and know that that's a thing.
It's incredible how over the New Japan fans have gotten at Nakamura, considering how little he's done.
Yes.
On the big stage.
I was kind of realizing tonight as I was watching Shinsuke and Dolph Ziggler work that Shinsuke was really interesting when he was in NXT,
mm-hmm.
and now I find him less interesting. Like, it's a year later, and he's not the shiny new toy anymore, and I find him less interesting.
I was wondering, I think that might be something that a lot of people run into, because he's not dynamic in the way that people want their sports entertainment to be dynamic.
Right.
I was watching and thinking, God damn, he looks like he's really throwing strong style, which I like.
Yeah.
And I love the way he tells a story, but it's different for sure.
Absolutely.
And he can get totally badass. I liked seeing him throw those exploders in the ladder match.
Yes.
I think that helps to add some of that, you know, take the match off of the 2D scale, as it were. You know, he doesn't do aerial stuff for the most part.
No, it's a lot not at all.
It's a lot of low kicks, so your eyes are pretty much on the horizon line. So the exploders are fun. But I think he just looks strong. I like him.
Yeah.
But I do concern myself as a total Nakamura mark that he may cool off a lot with the WWE universe.
Sure.
And that'd be a bummer. That'd be a bummer.
I'd seen somebody say on Sunday that like Shinsuke and AJ, just that spot alone, like, okay, there's your WrestleMania 34.
Yeah,
like don't even dick around about this. Like, look how the crowd popped for them just staring at each other. Like, why don't you want that?
And a lot of people,
why would you leave that money on the table?
The schmarky whiners on my Facebook page. Hopefully they're not. No, they're not watching. Good. they were saying that was the only worthwhile thing on the show. I thought that was a good pay-per-view. I enjoyed
I'd seen somebody else say that like it was disappointing, and I didn't feel that way. But then again,
no.
Anybody who's been listening to our show for, you know, probably 3 weeks at least knows that like I can find something I enjoyed out of just about every show.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought it was
Money in the Bank is one of your favorites.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a strong show. I thought that match was great. My best friend Baron Corbin won the match, so I know that Mr. Wolf was very excited about that.
Yeah, I have a photograph off the screen at the very end when he's walking around with the thing, and you see the person holding the sign Baron Corbin in the background.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yep, he could be holding that for a while if they're going to build him into a heel that has any kind of actual heat, because he's just so boring.
Yeah, he's one-dimensional.
Very one-dimensional.
There's nothing really going on with him other than, like,
cool
I don't
pants.
Care. I don't, yeah, I don't care about what's going on.
I'm
care
a bad
about
guy.
Thing.
I got cool pants.
It was also super entertaining to watch Kevin walk underneath ladders to not walk on his own face.
Yeah,
stage.
Kevin never ceases to entertain me.
No, and I was afraid he was dead. Sammy hit him with that suplex on the apron.
Yeah,
and he landed somewhere between the back of his head and his neck.
Oof.
And I was like, he's dead.
Is that why he never came back into the play?
Yeah, no, he was holding on to Shinsuke's ladder.
Yeah,
and that was
yeah.
the only other thing you
Vaguely,
saw.
Yeah.
Him do after that. It was definitely one of those, and you get that in those multi-person ladder matches where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm gonna take this really huge spot in the middle, amp people up, but then I'm done. Like,
yeah, that always,
it's up to you guys to carry the last 10
me.
Minutes of the match.
Me always would say, like, come on, what? If this he would be counted out of the ring in a normal match, why
yeah
you just do that to him and count him out of the ring in a normal, you
know, right,
you know, it's like, oh wait, right. It's not actually, you know, it's it's not.
Right, well, it's yeah. like anybody who's played any WWE video game in the last 10 years or something like that understands that in an Iron Man match, you pick up a chair and you get disqualified twice to start, because then they are so beat up, you've got the next 30 minutes to make up two falls.
Holy shit, I never tried that.
You never thought of doing that?
No.
I thought that was just common knowledge.
Yeah, that's really smart. And I totally going to use that on Pencil Neck. As a matter of fact, I know he's been playing a ton because he
You just pummel them with a foreign object. You've got the next, 15, 20 minutes to make up all those falls, and they are just toast.
That is amazing.
As long as you've got some kind of like head or body submission hold,
uh-huh.
then they're wasted. Every time you put the hold on, they have to tap immediately.
Sure. Nice. Whoa.
A secret heel. I seem like a nice guy. I'm a jovial guy, but if I ever turn heel, man. I got the tricks.
A little bit of sneaky, sir.
A little bit.
I like it. I was going to say the other thing that people who know have played WWE games over the last 10 years is that one out of every four of them works. And the other ones are broken pieces of crap.
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that. You every year we pick them up and we're like, maybe this is the one. And then it's not. And you're like, damn it, I'm going back to playing SmackDown on the original PlayStation.
I liked 17 a lot, and then they did the preview for 18, which is that incredible commercial where you have the masked anarchists smashing all of the artifacts in the WWE museum.
Right.
And I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is the best promo ever. I can't wait to see who this is. Are they introducing fucking Adam Cole or some weird shit?
Right.
And it's a commercial for the video game, and I thought, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
But first off, there's no story to speak of in the games, so unless they're swerving wildly, that's just an attention getter, right? So why isn't the person who wrote that commercial writing the goddamn promos? Because that was cool as fuck.
Yeah, no, that was pretty neat. Even though technically it was like we'll talk about Randy Orton being an arsonist, but Seth Rollins going through the museum and smashing up all the.
Well, first off,
stuff.
I didn't think it was Seth Rollins. I'm saying it should have been a promo to unveil a heel.
Right.
The fact that it's Seth Rollins makes no sense whatsoever. Just the idea, just going to that, just totally stealing the Lucha Underground mode of doing promos, just like these crazy-ass action movies.
Right.
When he drops the sledgehammer on Andre's head, I'm like, this motherfucker got heat. And that was a commercial for the video game. I'm like, the last game was good, so this one's going to be broken.
This one's going to be terrible.
So I was kind of bummed out about all that. That was actually the low point of the pay-per-view for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Seth got his, did you see his cheek? After he dive bombed Bray Wyatt last night,
no, I didn't notice.
He got up to the ramp and he was bleeding. He's got this nice cut on his cheek.
I did, yeah. That was like a very short. That was just like a. That wasn't. Explain what led up to that.
He was introducing the fact that he is on the cover of the 2K18.
Right. So he just got. Like,
and then they played the commercial, and then Bray talked a bunch of shit at him. That's what Bray does. And then came down to ringside, and just when he got, past the ramp, Seth jumped off the top rope on top of him. And I don't think he hit the lantern, but I don't know what he hit.
Right. Just
something, maybe something on Bray's hat or something on his fedora, like a pin or something. Cut his cheek open.
I did like the way that Rollins seems like if anybody has the ability to sort of work their own promos, he seems like one of the guys that has that. License.
Yeah.
He stupid Roman. All the Shield guys all seem to be able to go off script, as it were. And this was the first time where I liked what he was doing, because he was sort of saying what I always say about Bray
right
at this point, which is
you don't scare me.
Why are you saying things? Whatever you're saying is completely stupid. Why are you saying them?
Yeah.
No relevance on the future of the program. So
right. Well, speaking of Shield guys and promos, Roman's promo I thought at the top of the show was probably one of his better promos.
Well, unfortunately my cable cut out, so I didn't see it.
He was what you've talked about before. He was smug, and he was like, I don't care who wins. He called Samoa Joe some guy named Joe.
I did see that.
And said, I don't care who wins, I'm facing them for the title at SummerSlam. And this is, my yard and blah, blah, blah. And the last time I've gone undefeated, I think he said it like three WrestleManias. And the last one, I retired The Undertaker. Oh. So he was
getting heat.
Yeah, he was getting heat, man. He was like, and he was just smug about it. And it was like, yeah, okay. This is the Roman we've talked about before.
Right.
It's like, this is the Roman we want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, again, motivation. If his motivation is just to stick it in your ass, at least he has a motivation.
Exactly.
Like, then he can be a heel. And they can call him. I don't care how they book him. It's just a matter of how they present him.
Yeah.
What the real problem is.
Right.
I mean, I do get that people hate that he wins all the time. I get that. I mean, when I say I don't have a problem with how they book him, what I mean is going forward.
Yes.
You know, if they want to book him as a face, that's fine. But don't pretend that the crowd isn't doing the opposite of what you want. Because it's,
right.
it's really discordant.
Don't try and pipe in audio.
Yeah.
Don't try and make the commentators act like something's happening that's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst. Is when one of those hacks has to say something.
This crowd is really behind Roman Reigns.
It's like you can hear the crickets. Someone drops their popcorn or spills their pop, and then sorry. No. Stupid. All right.
Do you want to talk about the fourth pairing of best friends that have broken up this year?
What are we talking about?
The end of Raw, Enzo and Cass.
Oh, you know what? I didn't watch the end of Raw.
No?
Tell me more.
Oh, well, yeah, Kurt Angle called Enzo and Cass down the ringside and said they were going to get to the bottom of who has been beating them up backstage all the time, and he called down the Revival and the Big Show and ruled them out. So that Corey Graves from the announce table could Sherlock Holmes the fact that he had footage of Cass basically just laying down last week and putting a pipe over him and then like kicking the box so that people would come running and acting like he got beat up, and Cass broke and cut a pretty scathing promo on Enzo, saying that he's tired of carrying him. Enzo's been holding him back. Enzo is the reason he has never held gold since he's become a wrestler, because he's had to support Enzo all this time, and he's done.
They are on the slowest boat to title holding that you could possibly have. I swear, because they're so focused on this the hot tag. I remember hearing when they were still in NXT, Enzo just go on and on about the hot tag and how important the hot tag is.
Right.
And I'm absolutely convinced that Vince is like, we're going to make them go through hell, and in 5 years when they get the belt, it's going to be so over.
Right.
You know. In the meantime, we're going to have to sit through a bunch of solo matches with two guys that are...
Yes.
You know, I don't think they're bad. People say they're bad. I think they're capable, and I think that given reps, you know, we'll see something out of them both. But
I think the sum is
worth way more than the parts.
I think Cass definitely has potential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's gonna be kind of an uphill battle. It's gonna be kind of Braun Strowman like with him to you know, like the spotlight's gonna be on him now.
Mm-hmm.
So when he makes a mistake, everyone's gonna notice.
Right.
So it's just gonna be a matter of, like you said, reps. It's just going to be a matter of cutting the promos, doing the work, and you know, solidifying himself as a new character.
Right.
That's going to be a big part of it too, is trying to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
From what he has been.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, they're so iconic from the NXT. Like they transcended NXT in many ways.
Yeah.
And you know, we're just so over when they hit the...
Well, and that's the thing too, is like Enzo doesn't have to quit being Enzo. He can continue to be the exact character he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I would put him in 205 Live, like, immediately.
Hmm.
He's small. He's got a totally different style than a cruiserweight style, which I think is great.
Yeah.
I think it would in the same way that Jack Gallagher has a little bit of a different style than a lot of the other cruiserweights. He's not super flippy
or anything
like that. And you've already proven that he's, like, a known commodity. He's a talker.
Yeah, I just don't know if... because we don't see any numbers, you know, who knows if 205 Live is viable.
Right.
When I have watched it, I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
But then I just don't turn it on, and I would reckon a lot of people are like that, you know. I mean, how obscure is it? You're going to take an ace-type star and put him to 205 Live. Obviously, the thought would be that he will get people to go over to 205 Live. But
right.
I don't know if you change people's internet habits that much. I mean, like... The WWE Network offers so much that you're either hooked on the WWE Network,
yeah,
or you're not.
You're either watching wrestling seven nights a week,
yeah,
to some degree, or you're tuning in like we tune in with NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, yeah, NXT is a really great product, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on, but I don't care until about 2 weeks before you have your next takeover,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll catch up.
Yeah, yeah, I tend to slightly different habits, but similar. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And because 205 doesn't have their own pay-per-views, they just milk off the pay-per-views. It's such a strange bastard little program. And it's interesting because they were doing the episodes I watched recently were doing a lot of stuff with valets and outside interference.
Yeah.
And it felt like the 80s. It was a lot of fun. And I couldn't have recommended it more. But
the match they had last night with Noam Dar and Cedric Alexander was kind of like Noam Dar had Foxy on his phone.
Oh yeah.
And they put his phone up on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and she was yelling at him over his phone.
Right, right.
It was kind of fun.
A little bit. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the intergender stuff because it's to me, Underground does it right, where it's just
that's true.
They fight.
No, yeah, it's absolutely true. But you've also got like Titus O'Neil kind of endorsing Tozawa now.
That's an interesting
which
move.
Is another interesting. If you're gonna keep the cruiserweights on Raw, it's like we've mentioned before in the past. Like, don't make them their own island in the middle of the program.
Well, they have to because they have to change the ring. They put the ropes on and they throw the new cover on, and this whole affair.
When it comes to booking them and when it comes to...
Well, factions fix that.
Their
factions
interactions fix that. With stuff.
Because then at any time that such and such is getting whooped on, the club can come out and the club can actually look strong. Instead of getting beat on the main roster, they can club some 205 guys.
Yeah.
Look real mean.
Right.
So that's factions. I don't know why they don't do it.
As much as I enjoy the Hardys, I was bummed to see them. I was bummed to see the club lose to the Hardys last night. Like, if the club won that match, then it kind of elevates them a little bit. And if the club loses that, or if the Hardys win that match, it does nothing.
Right.
Like, they're still the Hardys. Even if they lose that match, they're still the Hardys.
Yeah. No, yes, it's just sort of a barometer for where the club is at.
Yes,
like, here's what we think of you.
Exactly. I was happy to see Bo Dallas.
I was very happy. Yeah, yeah.
The X-Man.
I'm fine with I thought the match was a lot of fun. Bo Dallas was fierce.
Both of them. Both of it was another one of those Finn Balor. That's the new Finn Balor from the last month or so.
That's the always Finn Balor, man.
He's just
he is awesome.
He's vicious.
Yeah, they have him positioned as a bit of a tweener, I think.
Yeah.
I would talk about a dork. I would buy that jacket. I love that jacket.
It is a pretty cool jacket. It is pretty neat.
Like a goddamn 12-year-old.
I like his. I like the font they use for Balor now,
mm-hmm.
like up on the screen and everything like that. But I also recognize that it's a little hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's supposed to be, so I know what it is. But I think, like, anybody that didn't know what that is like, what are those friggin' weird-ass things? And they think he was, Aleister Black's tag team partner.
Yeah, it looks like runes.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's a cross between runes and, like, some, new wave, like Alice Cooper when he decided to throw synths into his band.
Right.
Because that's what the market
exactly.
asked for.
I almost thought it looked a little Bowie.
Or it looked like 2017 in Back to the Future 2.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Fair.
So in another timeline somewhere.
Where's my auto-drying jacket?
That's what his jacket is. That's why I want to buy one.
It's auto-dries. Nice.
Drying mode on. Jacket drying. Your jacket is now dry.
Oh, so Baby Braun has the Money in the Bank briefcase, but Real Braun came back.
Yeah.
I like that.
In an ambulance, no less.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun way to do it.
Yep.
Very much on the nose. I'd like to see if he has the proper licensing to drive that vehicle.
He wasn't driving. He's just riding in the back.
Oh, he's just riding
in the
back.
He's got a driver.
It's a complete waste of the EMS's time.
Yeah, well, he's big and intimidating. And when the ambulance driver told him he was just going to drop him off, you know what he told him?
No.
I'm not finished with you!
Oh, jeez.
There should be an I'm not finished with you shirt by the time Great Balls of Fire comes around in a couple weeks.
Yep, that would make all the sense. The first Braun shirt I was not particularly excited by.
Yeah.
Like $25 for one screen print. It's not even that good.
Right.
Like, God damn it. I can tell you 8 punk bands in Detroit alone that make better shirts than that.
But yeah, that's the how you doing of Braun Strowman right there.
Oh, absolutely.
He's definitely got.
I dropped
keep
one
that
of those
up.
On Mr. Wolf the other day.
Yeah.
Before Braun came back, I don't remember what we were arguing about, but yeah, I came at him with it. I'm not finished with you yet.
Yes, fantastic. And now we get an ambulance match.
Yes, it's should be good.
Yeah,
should be a good one.
It'll be interesting to see if Braun puts away Roman in an ambulance match to lead to possibly him and whoever wins at Great Balls of Fire at SummerSlam,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Samoa Joe or the Beast, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I have to believe that they're still trying to put Roman over, and so this is a long-term plan to put Roman over.
Yeah.
I always feel that's the case, though.
That's,
so.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we were saying last week. It's like, who do you want to win? Who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, that's the one where I was not complaining so much. It was observational, but slightly complaining that Cass and Enzo, you know, are going to be dragged. They're getting the title is going to be way down the line because of just the way that they're booking them. I fully believe that they'll be a team again at some point and
right.
they'll win.
But it's going to be super long term.
Right. Whereas with Roman, it's like, take all the time you need. the longer he can not be over, the better.
Right.
You know, at some point it's coming, whatever. Just have to deal with it. There's so much talent now. It's weird that we have hit, again, I stick with this term, the doldrums. It's very strange that with the amount of raw talent involved,
yeah.
that they're just not booking good rivalries. You know, we were talking about Finn. He's got to face the Drifter. Yeah, how about fire the Drifter? Like, why do we need the Drifter? I know people are kind of into it, yada, yada, whatever, 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 whatever. If he disappeared, it would be 3 weeks before someone said, oh, whatever happened to the Drifter?
Well,
and
yeah.
Instead, Finn Balor, with all the fucking talent in the world, is going to be in some sort of a rivalry with the Drifter.
I felt bad that the main event tonight on SmackDown was Jinder and Luke Harper.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad that I forgot I hadn't seen Luke Harper in weeks.
Luke Harper is twisting in the wind, and this is my stoner take. He should come to the ring with a walking stick that's kind of like a wizard staff.
All right.
And he should be like the Appalachian Kane from Kung Fu. He just travels the world
travels
with his
world.
Walk in the stick and occasionally whips someone in the stomach with it.
I like that. That's a good gimmick.
Yeah.
I dig it. He did look, he's dropped some weight.
He's yoked up a little
last
bit.
Time I've seen him.
He kind of reminds me of, well, Hillbilly Jim to a certain extent, but what I was thinking was who would carry the 2x4?
Oh, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yep. And then from there I was like, well, obviously you can't. You know, you could bring the right person could bring back the 2x4.
Right.
He would not be the right person to do it. I'm like, so
no, definitely not.
I'm like, give him a walking stick. You know, that music
that would
is like,
be neat.
Boom.
Yeah, there's some banjo going in there.
Sort of like a slow strut down to the thing with his old man hippie walking stick. And
right.
Occasionally,
he's
got a quarter staff and he got a whoop ass with it.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, every match the ref has got to be like, you got to give me that. You got to hand me the walking stick. You mm-hmm. know, take a minute to do that spot every time.
And he's a face, so he would.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The fact that it's there then gives you the, okay, I've taken all I can stand, but I can't stand no more moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Get
exactly.
that walking stick and just whoop someone with it.
And he gives good crazy eyes.
He does great crazy eyes.
I didn't realize Braun Strowman had such great crazy eyes until he was staring out at Roman Reigns this week. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he got good crazy eyes too. Yeah, he needs them because he looks like a big old bearded baby.
Yeah.
He's got a little happy face.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I also didn't realize exactly how much... you could see the family resemblance between Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas this
week. The beard helped. Yeah. Yes.
The beard is big and thick, and the mustache is very thin and kind of patchy. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, you guys are totally related.
Yeah, yeah.
If you couldn't see it before, I totally see it now. I really, really like the match between him and Finn.
I thought it was excellent.
It was really good. And it was, I reminded myself midway through the match that I don't think these two really crossed paths in NXT, but you have two strong NXT talent that both held the heavyweight title down there.
Oh, yeah. No, Bo was gone way before. Because I don't think when I was watching, that was, essentially when Kevin Owens came in is when I started watching. So that was, of course, well before Finn got there. And, yeah, I don't believe Bo Dallas was there at that point. I think he had been brought up, but was being used very sparingly.
I don't remember who took the belt off Bo Dallas, because I know I'm pretty sure he took the belt off of Neville, but it's inconsequential. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. and
I can't tell you because I just told you I didn't see it.
Did I? I'm pretty sure I talked about this last week, but I tried to watch Raw on Hulu.
Yeah, the hour and a half stuff. Yeah.
The stuff that they cut out. Is just like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Imagine trying to watch like Breaking Bad or something, and they just cut 15 minutes out of the episode.
Right. Yeah.
Like, holy crap! I wonder who has to make that call too.
Yeah, that's a strange way to go about it. I do agree with you. I mean, I guess if Breaking Bad was 5 hours long.
Well, yeah.
3 hours of it being completely inconsequential, then maybe it would make a little more sense. But, I definitely know what you mean, how you decide what to pull. It's probably quite easy for them because they sort of have everything in tiered.
Right,
what they value and what they don't. But it never makes sense to me. Just thinking to Ziggler today, again, about how buried he is. I'm just going to laugh about it now. I mean, he's just so buried. But... even a year or two ago when he was a face, he was still the signs and selling shirts like a mug. And now, I don't think there's a single shirt. It's like, what is he doing there?
I know one person who's bought a Dolph Ziggler shirt in the last year. I only know one.
Yeah.
I'm refuting that he's not selling shirts, but I'm saying one of which he sold.
Yeah. Like, get rid of him and make way for the outgoing drifter.
Right. Oh, all right. So, but before we started tonight, I had said that I went on and on about Samoa Joe last week, and I was like, I can't bring up Samoa Joe again this week. I have to, just for a minute.
Okay.
Just for a minute. They're setting up for their Slammiversary over at Impact Wrestling. They're setting up Josh Matthews is their heel commentator. Him and Big Papa Pump are going to fight the face commentator, Jeremy Borash, and...
I like you.
And his big enforcer, which is the guy who was Abyss. He has this like corporate Kane type of character where he's just his lawyer or something like that.
The guy who was Abyss.
Yeah, like he's kind of a weasel and he's scared of Scott Steiner and stuff. So they tried to FaceTime.
Well, fuck yeah, he is. Everyone's afraid of Scott Steiner. He looks like a sex criminal.
So they tried to FaceTime him to call the match off.
Uh-huh.
And Scott Steiner, of course, Scott Steiner looks like he's mowing his lawn on FaceTime over the FaceTime. But he did the thing where I explained to you before about the thing about Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
He's fat. He's got fat.
Fat ass.
He did the thing. He was like, your lawyer's annoying and he's fat.
Oh, no.
He's got a fat ass. If anybody knows anything about Scott Steiner, he hates fat asses. I'm going to kick his fat ass.
God damn it, Scott Steiner. What is wrong with you?
I couldn't believe he resorted to just talking about him having a fat ass. I couldn't believe it. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
He's such a carny.
All right, let me collect myself. That's my Scott Steiner moment for this week.
Steiner Brothers Circus. We need to be a Steiner Brothers Circus.
That was another, it happened on Sunday, and then they didn't follow up with it this week. Maria and Mike Kanellis.
Part of SmackDown. I forgot they didn't readdress it today. I thought that promo was super weird, and I liked it.
Yeah.
It was like, it didn't tell you much of anything. Nope. So for someone like me who does not know them.
Right.
I actually had to ask somebody that I was chatting with throughout the show what their deal is on the other shows.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching, it was just I think I saw him Mike Bennett face Kevin Owens for an ROH belt on DVD. So I didn't even know the program leading into it.
Sure.
And at that point, Maria was just a valet, essentially. But so they both wrestle, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, she wrestles occasionally.
Okay.
But she's just, she's real heel. She's heel as fuck.
Yeah, they just really haven't introduced like how they're going to do it other than to make them super annoying for Smarks. I mean, that was what my impression was, that they were just trying to make them
And the idea that like in this version of the character, like he took her name.
When JBL said that and then just stared at the screen with JBL face.
Yeah.
Which essentially is resting bitch face.
Right.
But resting bitch face is... you know, many women use that term proudly, but I don't necessarily feel comfortable using it. So I'll say JBL face. He said that. I fell out, dude. I was dying. He just said, he took her name.
He took her name. And stares at the camera.
Stares at the camera. So damn good.
It feels like they set up the Money in the Bank pay-per-view to be a shining moment for women, and then with that and with James Ellsworth, like, just kicked him in the teeth.
why see, I thought handling it that way was appropriate. I thought him just saying he took her name was good. It was just like he didn't criticize it any more than that.
Right.
It was just like a stern dad who is being permissive.
It definitely,
like,
yeah,
like he didn't get ugly with it, like, but he just couldn't hold it in. It just seemed so, like, I just this isn't even a character, this is just JBL shooting.
Yeah, right exactly.
And that's where it really works. I, you know, whereas if the King was there, the King would have said something stupid and gone too far.
He would have went into his book of jokes.
Yeah.
And
I do like his book of jokes, but damn it, I was watching WrestleMania from WrestleMania 29, which is one of the first ones I watched with you.
Okay.
It's most notably, is the match with Punk versus Taker.
Okay.
And I say most notably because it is an unnotable show. There is a match in that. there's a match in there. Who was it now? It was Mark Henry.
Oh no, this is not a good start.
Against Mark Henry won against Ryback using a cane loaf. And what the cane loaf is when
cane loaf.
I call it. I'm sure it goes way back before the cane, but I call it the cane loaf and always will. Feel free to correct me online, people. But in the last year or so of Kane's run, when people would throw him over their shoulder, and then the sheer weight of him would cause them to buckle and collapse. So basically, it was just him making himself a little more dense than the person who lifted him onto the shoulders thought he was.
All right.
He just goes like, and loafs, and they go, and they collapse under him. Yeah, Mark Henry won with the cane loaf over Ryback in one of the most boring matches I have ever seen. It sucked. It was so bad.
I love the idea of the cane loaf. Well, like, that needs to be a finisher.
It is a finisher. Kane used it to win several times in his last year. Actually, I think he did usually go on to use the...
like the choke slam or the tombstone or something.
Yeah. But I do believe that Henry literally won on the cane loaf.
Because that was something that John Cena, like early in John Cena's career, he won the U.S. title off of the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he won it by hitting him with the F5, which was impressive as hell, because mm-hmm. we didn't know that John Cena, you know, does those friggin' squat
right.
lifts.
Sure.
And is amazing. So it was like, wow, he picked up the Big Show on his shoulders and they friggin' did the thing. Wow, that was cool. And then somewhere like a year later, he was feuding with like the Great Khali or Umaga or something like that. You know, somebody who is significantly smaller than the Big Show. And like the spot for plenty of those matches would he would heft him up and then fall forward.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's just too heavy.
Yeah, that's essentially the cane loaf.
Yeah, it's the cane loaf.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, if your big guy is, I guess you probably don't want him moving because you don't want to throw out your back if you're the person hefting, But if you could somehow figure out a way to even like make it look like you're punching at their torso to like not, but that doesn't happen. They just loaf.
They just like you say, you just
as though somehow by exhaling you get heavier.
You just drop your shoulders.
It's big pop. It's big pop of pump physics. You release the air, and you just get fatter.
Oh shit!
No, oh, what have we done? What have we done? So yeah, Maria Kanellis. Okay, we got ladders. We got. I think we talked about just about everything.
I think we covered it all. It
might be a pretty short,
pretty short amount of time.
Yeah, it'll be a shorter episode, but you know, it's not. Not an imperfect one.
We still love all you guys listening.
I think we nailed it. We'll give you the rest of the week off. What do you think of that, people?
What do you think of that? Hit us up on our social media. Tell us about some stuff that we should be talking about.
Yeah,
some
for
stuff
sure.
That we're missing out on.
I mean, people who are on my Facebook know that I have been struggling with lack of motivation. So help me out, man. Light some fires.
Yeah, give us some homework.
Give us some ideas. I think for sure we're gonna have to have a weekly
Scott Steiner update. I'll try and save it to the end because it really derails everything.
No, it's strong. I like it. But yeah, well, I think maybe that we can use that to segue into something else if someone gives us a great idea or if we come up with one.
For sure.
You know, we were experimenting at one point in an episode that never got released with doing the sort of a retrospective on a...
Yes.
Oddly or completely insignificant wrestler from the 70s or 80s.
Right.
That might be something that would be a little more fun, especially if we can find some kind of funny video on them by doing the research. So maybe I'm going to make that my job for next week.
You're going to pick out somebody from the 80s that we can...
I'm going to dig through some obscure wrestlers and find some kind of gem.
Yeah.
And it may be a gem because they did something awesome. Maybe a gem because they did something stupid. Maybe a gem because it's just... They were so nondescript that they shine with their mediocrity.
Hit us up at One Fall Show, Facebook, on Twitters.
At One Fall Show.
Yep.
And have fun.
Don't fall in the hole. I stole it. I stole it from you. Heel as fuck.
I beat him before, I'll beat him again. He's still a fat bastard. The only way I'd be afraid of him if I was smothering a Twinkie. Or I was dressed as a hamburger. Why would I be afraid of him? I'm gonna beat some old Joe worse than I've ever been before. You got that? Now go take your clothes off. I'm working off.